If you would turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I want to talk to you from a seasonal standpoint, since we're all looking forward, I trust, to Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you about your Thanksgiving meter or measure. In Psalm 100, let's read in verse 1. Very short psalm, very to the point. Psalm 101, my Bible says, a psalm of praise is the title of the psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This is truly a psalm of thanksgiving and worship. I trust that if you were in the right frame of mind, and if I was in the right frame of mind as we came in here today, that we very likely could have experienced everything that is going on in this psalm right here. And I believe that's what the Lord intends for us to experience, especially when we come into public worship. But thanksgiving and thankfulness is not just limited to public worship, okay? I don't know if any of you, I'm sure the older ones maybe have never seen this, but one of my favorite kid movies is Monsters Incorporated. I thought that was a genius of a plot. It's about the monsters, you know, coming in and scaring the kids at night, coming out of the closet, coming out from under the bed. And they're trying to capture the scream of the children to bring energy back to the monster world. That's all silly, I know, but somebody had a good idea when they came up with that movie. And that thing they had was called the scream extractor. And they take that back, and you know, they're running low on power. They're not getting enough screams. Nobody's scary enough anymore. Well, then they figured out that laughter was a million times more powerful than screaming. And so they started making the kids laugh, okay? It's all fantasy world, but I want to capture the thought of your Thanksgiving measure or meter or what you carry around from day to day. You know, if you could see it in terms of a gauge, how thankful are you? The world's just going to give you nothing but screams, nothing but fear, nothing but trouble. But ask yourself the question, where is my Thanksgiving needle? Where is that measure? Where is that meter? Is it way, way low? Or is it bumping up there midway? Or is it all the way out the roof full? We should be thankful on a daily basis that God has blessed us and given us life. So think about your Thanksgiving measure, your Thanksgiving meter. Where is that needle at? It's very hard to keep that needle high, almost impossible to keep that Thanksgiving needle up and the measure high, if you're constantly thinking about the things of the world and what's coming at you from the world. If you're a football fan, there's at least a couple folks here I know that are really disappointed with some things that happened with some teams yesterday. You know, if that's your measure, you're going to be very disappointed. And I can remember, look, I was young once. I still feel young. I guess I'm not anymore. But I can remember sitting at the old house on a Saturday afternoon in 1994, I think it was, when I didn't have a life and I didn't have a purpose. And I sat there and I watched football all afternoon. And I remember Alabama was playing in the second SEC championship game, which I thought was amazing that they actually had some kind of championship game. And Florida beat them that year. They were undefeated. And I got so mad. My day was ruined. My Thanksgiving meter was broken and busted because that's all I went around. How did they beat us? How did that happen? Look, it's okay to get excited. It's okay to have fun. And it's okay to, you know, enjoy a good game. But if that's our focus, if that's all that thrills us, if that's all that gives us feeling or makes us think, we're in a mess. If you're thinking about the Lord and you're thinking about worship and you're thinking about all the things that you have to be thankful for, no matter your condition, it's going to keep you in a good place with the Lord. You might not be in a good place in the world, but it will keep you in a good place with the Lord. And isn't that the most important thing? He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That is the Hebrew word ruah, which it's almost our word for hurrah. You know, it says to make a noise. It doesn't say
make a perfect sound in singing. I love to hear good harmony and good singing, but this is making a joyful noise. So if you don't have a very good singing voice, it's okay. The Lord says to make a joyful noise to Him. When's the last time you did that? Think about that. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, just lifting up a praise to the Lord. Thank you, God, for all that you've given us. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come with His presence before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful for unto Him. The word thanksgiving and the word thankful comes from the word for hand. And it gives the picture of lifting up your hands to the Lord. If I was sitting in a crowd anywhere, I even used to get nervous, you know, just raising my hand to answer a question in class. That would make you nervous. It makes you feel uncomfortable and strange, you know, when you raise your hands. You know, I actually even thought about, why don't we try that this morning? I'm not going to do that to you. But what if I asked? I said, everybody raise your hands. You know, I mean, at least everybody would be doing it at the same time, right? You wouldn't feel so weird. But the image that's given here, it does not mean that you're sinning and you're not being thankful if you don't raise your hands. It doesn't mean that. But the picture that's given is somebody bracing their hands before the Lord and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You don't have to do it in a public worship service. If you want to, you can. But when is the last time we raised our hands before the Lord and just said, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for what you've given me. We spend so much time thinking about the negative, don't we? And things that are not productive and things that will just bring us down. That's our nature. That's where we are prone to fall if we just let ourselves go, is on the negative side, on the unnatural side. We want to fall on the supernatural side. And the Lord is never going to let us down. There's always something good to think about with the Lord. That's why, as ministers of the gospel, we want to represent the Lord in such an accurate way, so that you will understand that He is always good. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what tragedies or trials come in the world. Amen. You think about the death of Sister Mandy and all of the trials that she went through in her life of not being able to verbalize much more than a song from time to time and a few words here and there. I remember one of the most scary moments of my life. You know, Sister Mandy, sometimes if she'd get upset, she would bite you. Brother Neil got bit a few times. Some other people did too. And I was over at the Honey's house one day, and Sister Mandy was there. And Brother Neil, I think he did this on purpose, Brother Luke, but he set Mandy right down next to me. And just a week or so before, he'd been telling me about how she bites. So Brother Neil set her down right down next to me. And I was sitting there talking with her, you know, and she's looking at me. And man, she got up to my face like I thought she was fixing to bite a plug out of my cheek. I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to do. And y'all know me. I usually know what to do most of the time, but I didn't know what to do. And then she reached over, she got closer, and she kissed me on the cheek. I said, praise God for the kiss and not the bite. But you think about Sister Mandy, all of the trials that she went through. And literally today at this moment, our Savior has made every sad thing in her life come untrue. You understand that? You may experience nothing but sadness and trials in this life, but when you're with the Lord one day, every sad thing will become untrue. You figure that out. It doesn't mean it never happened. It doesn't mean it wasn't true, but He will cause it to become untrue. Isn't that a glorious thought? That's something to be thankful about. Amen. You know, when the candidate you vote for doesn't go into office, or when the promotion that you were seeking doesn't come your way, or whenever things just seem to be going against you at all times. Have you ever been there? I know you have. I've talked with some of you. I've been there, and it just seems like it's a never-ending, constant slap and hit, and you just can't get around. You can always remember that no matter what you go through in this life, you can be thankful that the Lord one day is going to become untrue. You're not going to sit up in heaven and pine away and go, oh, all those things that happened to me. Oh, Lord, it was so horrible. I'm so glad to be here now, but let me have a little pity party. There's not going to be any pity parties in heaven. It's only going to be thankfulness, because every sad thing will come untrue. And you think about the sad things that you're dealing with now. You'll always have some measure of sadness going on in this life, because it's a sad life. It's a sad place. It's a sad world. It's a broken world. It's a troublesome world. You got the devil after you to tempt you. You've got issues that come up in relationships. It might be husband and wife. It might be friends. It might be siblings. It might be whatever. Oh, God forbid, it might be church trouble. You know, just remember, this is a sad life. But the Lord's going to make every sad thing come untrue. That's how sovereign He is. He can do that. I can't do that. I can't look at my life and think about all the sad things that I've done or thought or said or all the sad experiences that I've had and just go, oh, it just became untrue. I can't do that. I don't have the power. But the powerful God in heaven, the overruler, the overcomer, He will make every sad thing come untrue. It will be as if it never happened to you. And if you can get in that mindset right now, you know what your Thanksgiving meter is going to do? It's going to start going, it's going to start hitting the middle 50%. It's going to start going on up. The needle's going to start going up. There's coming a time when every sad thing will come untrue. Now, the Lord has a problem with us when we become unthankful. Did you know that? He has a problem with that. Look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50, and we'll read a few verses beginning in verse 7. And you're going to say, what does this have to do with thankfulness? You'll see. Let's just keep reading. Psalm 50 and verse 7. The Lord says, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. The Lord's got a problem with the people. He says, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. You're doing a pretty good job of that. To have been continually before me, you're doing a pretty good job going through the motions, checking off the boxes. You know, you're doing everything I've told you to do. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. The Lord knows every single fowl, every single bird that exists. He knows every sparrow that falls. You may think you know them, and the little red robin comes and lands on the tree, and you think he's beautiful and you think he's cute. The Lord knows who that is. He knows the name of that bird. He knows the beasts of the field. He knows the deer. He knows the coyotes. He knows the lions. He knows everything. So you don't have to, the Lord says, you don't have to tell me about these things. And if I were hungry, verse 12, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The Lord says, I don't need you to bring me food. If I were hungry, the Lord doesn't get hungry. Of course, now remember, Jesus did when he was here manifesting the flesh. Ask me to explain that. I can't. But the Lord says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? See, the Lord is chastening them, chastising them and saying, you know, you're going through the motions. You're checking the boxes. And, you know, you're thinking, you know, you're doing me a favor. You get that? You're thinking you're doing me a favor by doing these things. You're doing these things for me because I commanded them. And you should do them out of a joyful heart. But they were just going through the motions. And the Lord says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The Lord has a problem with the people. They were going through the motions. They were checking the boxes. They were hitting the letter of the law, but in their minds and in their hearts, they were not thankful to God. They were just kind of kicking the ground and going, well, we got to go to the Sabbath day again. Got to go through these feasts again. Got to go to church on Sunday again. Got to see old so-and-so again. Got to listen to Brother Tim preach again. Oh, joy. You get the point. Their heart wasn't in it. Whenever you get the doctrine of salvation by grace, as you heard it preached so wonderfully here this morning, when you get that in your mind and you think, and that hits your heart, it is the most incredible experience that you can have in this life. And it leads you to thankfulness. And the Lord says, I got a problem with you. You're not being thankful. What about Romans, the first chapter? Over in Romans, the first chapter, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul writing, he's got a problem again. He says in Romans 1, and let's look at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Creation testifies to the glory of God. It does not testify to evolution and being here for billions of years. It testifies to a creator God. The specific, incredible, intricate designs of nature in this world and this universe testify to the Godhead, that God is an amazing creator. Creation of the world is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, see, they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. By the way, that sounds like evolution in reverse right there, doesn't it? Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And he goes on and he describes the horrors of sin that come upon a people, a nation, a culture, a world who stop being thankful. The thankful meter is busted. See, the Lord has a problem with us when we're not thankful. What happens when we're not thankful? He says their foolish heart was darkened. That word darkness means to obscure, to blur the lines. And when you become unthankful, you stop seeing things clearly. And you may become so unthankful that you start thanking for things that you shouldn't. Think about that. It just reverses your mind. You know, Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Could it be that when we get so confused and the lines are so blurred and we call something horrible, we call something horrible, "Oh, that's good." And then we call something that's really, really good and we say, "Oh, no, whoa, that's bad." Can that all go back to the fact that a people were not thankful? Absolutely. They stopped thanking God. They stopped acknowledging God. Back in Psalm 100, thanksgiving there, that word literally means the moves of the hand. The hand moves. The part of the body that enables man to perform all types of work. You think about that. Have you just thanked God for the fact that you have hands? Think about that. What on a daily basis could you not do if you didn't have any hands? I know maybe it sounds silly, but think about it. You couldn't even brush your teeth. You couldn't even put your clothes on. You couldn't do anything. If you want to get some idea of that, just think about the babies when they're here. You know, they can't control their hands. They have to have everything done for them, right? But what if you didn't have any hands? And the image here is somebody, again, thanking God for what they have done for him, for them. You know the old saying, "You don't know what you got till it's gone." There is so much truth to that saying. Think about where you are today. What you have today, who you are around today, what you have heard here in the preaching of the salvation by grace gospel this morning. Think about the things that you have. You don't know, a lot of times we don't know what we've got till it's gone. I'm very nostalgic and I think back on the years, especially in the time of Thanksgiving, when we'd have these great get-togethers at my grandmother's house over here in Alcola. We'd have this great get-together on Sunday at lunch at my grandmother's house over there in Zion. You know, it was just a wonderful time of fellowship. What an incredible experience that was, and what an impact that made on me when I didn't even realize it. You know, as a child, running and playing and eating such incredible food, I can't go there on Thursday at Thanksgiving lunch and do that at my grandmother Springer's house. You know, she's gone. And I can't go to my grandmother McCool's house at noon on Sunday and experience that incredible meal and fellowship because she's gone. So that would just put me down in the mully grubs and I won't be able to function. No, I'm so thankful for those memories. I'm so thankful for those experiences. And I right now want to conduct myself in a way in thankfulness that I can have even more experiences, you know, with my present family and my present church. You don't know what you got till it's gone. That's a reality for all of us. Back in the fall of 1621... That's when we're told in history that the first Thanksgiving took place on American soil. First Thanksgiving similar to what we know today. I was reading a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving, and this just really, really caught me. When the first president, George Washington, wrote this. Listen to this now. This is the first president of the United States. And this would have been back in 1789. You know, something like 160 or 70-something years after the first Thanksgiving. He writes and he says, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me, the President, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and also that we may beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion, given under my hand at the city of New York, 3rd day of October, 1789. That's an amazing proclamation from a president, is it not? What an amazing, thankful proclamation. I believe the meter was running high in Thanksgiving when that was written by that particular individual. Are we thankful? Are we praising God for the many, many blessings that He has given us? Every few years, I will put an article in the paper around Thanksgiving time. I've told you about this before, and a few years ago in 2021, I did that. And those three papers that circulate have about a 15,000 subscriber list. That's probably, might be a little bit low. It might be closer to 20,000. But in 2021, I put in there, instead of making your Christmas list, it's okay to make a Christmas list, but instead of focusing primarily on your Christmas list or your Black Friday list or whatever, you know, make a Thanksgiving list and send it to me. I'd love to hear from you. And so I've told you before, you know, Miss Pelly Springer, 97 years old at the time. She's 100. She's over 100 now. She's the only person out of those 15,000 that sent me a Thanksgiving list. And I've got the letter and the Thanksgiving list on my wall at the office. And so every time I go in and out of my office, as I go out, I can see it. I can look at it. And it was such a sweet list. And of course, a few weeks later, I put in the paper, the only person that sent me a Thanksgiving list was 97-year-old Miss Pelly Springer. I got a few more lists after that. But I reran that. I reran a similar article a few weeks ago. And out of those 15,000, I said, hey, if you think I'm trying to shame you into sending me a Thanksgiving list, you're absolutely right. So out of those 15,000, I've gotten three. Isn't that great? That's less than 1%. That's 0.0002%, I think. I've got three. That's better than one, right? I'm thankful for those three. I'm expecting some more. I got one by text this morning. Are you thankful? Have you made a Thanksgiving list? I made one. I'm so thankful to know the truth of salvation by grace. It has changed my life. It changes my life and molds me and shapes me every day if I'm thinking about it. I'm so thankful to be a part of the Church of God. The Church of God that has gone down for almost 2,000 years from the banks of the Jordan River down to this very day. I thank God for being a part of the Church of God. Thank you for letting me speak to you and to preach these things to you. I thank God for my wife, for my family. I thank God for you. I thank God for the nation that we live in, as broken as it may be. They're not coming to arrest us yet. I thank God for these things. What about Paul? Paul said in Philippians 4, in verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He goes on and gives that think list about whatsoever things are pure, lovely, true, all those things. And then he goes on and he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In his thankfulness, he learned to be content. So let me ask you this, 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Do you think the Apostle Paul was thankful whenever he received of the Jews five times, received I 40 stripes, save one? I'm not sitting here saying, well, he was thankful for every time they were hitting him. But do you think that he was able to make that through that because he believed that the Lord was going to take care of him even though he was being struck? He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Do you think he was thinking about his thankful list during those moments when he was being stoned, when he was being beaten with rods? He says, thrice I suffered shipwreck. Can you see the Apostle Paul floating around out there in the water with no life preserver, maybe holding on to a piece of wood or something? You know, can you see him and can you picture his thankful meter? And he's saying, thank you, God, I'm alive. I didn't drown. You must have still a purpose for me because I am not dead. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I'm not making this up, it's all here. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What a list. Now, the Apostle Paul's not having a pity party. He's leading us into 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where he tells them that in no matter what I dealt with, Even if I'm weak, even if I'm being stoned, even if I'm being beaten with rods, even if I'm in the deep, no matter what I have to deal with, he says, I'm going to be thankful because God's grace is sufficient. You see that? I think his thankful meter was out the roof. Out the roof. How is yours? How is mine? We should praise him. We should enter into his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. The world is just going to give you a scream extractor. That's all the world's going to do for you, just extract screams out of you. But the Word of God, the Church of God, the people of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship, breaking bread with one another, listening to preaching, studying the Word of God, all of those things are going to help your thanksgiving meter and your needle continue to rise and to grow. Will you do that? Will you sit down and will you look and check and see how you're doing with your thanksgiving? I hope this Thursday is not overshadowed by the dark clouds of Black Friday. Don't forget what this was all about. It was a purely American holiday that's purely American, and it's something you can be thankful for what you have and make that list. And don't let anything, don't let football and don't let shopping, don't let that take you away from lifting up your hands to God and say, thank you, God. You say, well, I can't think of one thing to thank God for. Let me tell you something. You can at least thank him that you're not going to burn in the lake of fire. That's an understatement. You're not going to burn. Christ burned for you on the cross. So you don't have to burn. That's at least one thing to be thankful about. But I dare say that you've got many more things. If there's one or more here that is thankful for their salvation and has never done this publicly, we give you that opportunity to come down and make that confession. Let it be known that you love the Lord and you believe he has died for your sins, and become a part of the Lord's church, which is a huge thing to be thankful for. We give that opportunity as we stand and sing.